I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff and things.
I almost forgot how we begin these things.
That's okay. No big deal. Welcome, one and all, back to the show, back to the program.
And we're doing season four. Season four is new and different and awesome and fantabulous.
And shiny.
So because we're doing season four, we have more of a slightly stricter main show format. And so we're going to do a few article shout outs because we like some of these articles and we wanted to shout them out. That makes sense, and right?
We're supportive of Medium as well, as in general.
So right? First one is going to be from Sturge, who is currently with us.
In chat, absolutely. The superhero Sturge, hanging out with us, chit-chatting in chat, keeping us entertained with memes and GIFs galore.
And
thank you, Sturge.
He did a poem a few weeks ago called Hope in Despair. And he published it in Right Under the Moon. I don't know how you want to like do these shout outs or anything, but
I'm just gonna say a couple of things because this was one that I kind of like was like, hey, can we add this? Because I read it today and it was a beautiful poem. I mean, the subject matter was anxiety inducing and like, you know, it brought real emotion to me when I read it, and it's a very vulnerable piece about a real feeling that someone goes through, and I just thought it was really, really cool. So check out Sturge's poem Hope and Despair if you want to.
Yeah, and we'll have these links in the article and wherever, like whatever post I put these in, either on Substack or on Medium. If you're coming to the podcast from one of the purely audio sources, you may want to check us out on Medium because we put the links in those things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or check us out on Discord and we'll make sure you get to it.
So then there was another one that was published earlier this week. It was 2 days ago. So that was the 19th of March. And this one's by You Good, about 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really about that at all.
No. Similarly, actually, it was, you know, an experience that You Good had in real life and how it felt to be in that experience. It was a very touching article to me as well. Did you want to say anything else about it?
I just really enjoyed the way that she formatted it. I honestly, except for a tiny little section where there was like some swearing, I actually thought that this was completely boostable. Which, for people not on Medium, it just means that, like, Medium may have selected it to be distributed even further than normal. So, but, like, she posted it in Sweary Mommy, so I don't know if she'd want to take the curse words out to be boosted. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really know that
Medium didn't really boost articles with swearing in it.
I don't know that they don't, but from what I understand, it doesn't usually add to it. Like, they're trying to go for a more professional thing. I mean, you'd have to ask the nominators. So Sturge is also a nominator and he says it doesn't help. So yeah, it's good for some audiences, but like if you're trying to get boosted, probably leave out the curse words.
Right.
I think hell might be fine, maybe. But I don't know. Anyway. And then, I wanted to just really quick shout out to my article because, you know, shameless plug.
Absolutely. And I don't think it should be shameless at all. I think it should be shameless. I think it should be full of pride also because it's such a wonderful article. Like, you really also very clearly depicted an experience that you went through in a kind of a larger format, you know, kind of the experience of decades that you've watched happen. And I thought it was very well done.
Yeah.
I thought it was also brave too.
Thanks.
it's a topic that I would absolutely be nervous to write about myself. So
I'm actually learning a lot from the comments And not like because people are telling me things that I didn't know. It's more the like how I'm responding to the comments is a little unexpected, and it's teaching me that like I need to have a thicker skin.
Sure, absolutely.
I really didn't think that it was going to affect me in the ways that it did, but you know, I'll put a link to that in our description-y thing as well. I don't want to talk too much about that one.
I can understand, but it is really amazing, and I'm glad you're gonna put a link in there.
Before I move on, should I click on this to make this lobster move, or should I leave it as PG?
Maybe you could probably just leave it as PG for now.
Okay.
It's just a secret. It's a secret for me and Sturge,
I
and you
will
can see
check
it
it out
later.
later
You
because
can see it
the
later.
chat doesn't go anywhere. So anybody who's listening in on this, if you want to see what lobster we're talking about and you want to see what the gif does, come to our Discord. The channel will have the gif in there for like ever. It'll just be there. So yeah, we'll move on from that.
Absolutely.
So section one of our podcast. Well, I guess the section one was the shout outs, but the lab portion. What's the lab portion?
Probably part of the thick skin class,
Oh,
maybe.
right. Yeah, the thick skin class. I think we actually need one of those. I'm just saying. I might
Maybe.
sign up for one. Anyway, so
Maybe we're gonna
section two
start
of our
one.
podcast is going to be this article that we are going to go over.
Yeah.
Because wow.
And talk about sharing an experience. My goodness. I just read this one before the podcast, just to be super clear. And
So before you start talking about it, can I say what the article is? Because
oh yeah, sorry.
audio wise, we haven't actually said what it is. So
Please continue.
this article is called "As Children of the 80s and 90s, We Grew Up Without Hope" by Nicole Dake, and she published it in An Injustice. So go ahead and continue.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, I mean, as a child of the 80s, and it seems that I am very close in age to the author based on what the article says, like it so much of it hit home, and like I had a very privileged and sheltered run through my first 20 years, and I still felt so much of this, so much of the like the despair and the disdain for the future and for the society and everything like that. I think that a lot of us millennials grew up very cynical in our teens and early 20s, and I think a lot of us never got out of it too. I don't even know that I've gotten out of it, if I'm being completely honest. But this is a very long article, and it for me I'm just a little
Well, it's
baby reader
11 minutes.
anymore.
It's longer than your usual article, but it was compelling.
Yeah. And also I just want to point out, like, there were a couple of moments that like song lyrics were picked out from the day and age, from artists of that day and age, and they reading them as opposed to just hearing them in the song was super impactful to me in a way I didn't expect.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually read anything by Nicole Dake before. She's been around on Medium for a while, but I've never come across her, I don't think. And just reading this one, I was just like, "Are you like, were you here with me? Like, did we go to school together? Is that like, 'cause this you're talking my language. This I went through this same thing, and it re like I realized how kind of ubiquitous the feeling of growing up was for us in this like." Probably 5 year age bracket where we grew up being in school when Columbine started and just kind of watching the American dream fade away.
Yeah, there was some mention of Columbine, and there was a really impactful line. Is it spoilers to say a really impactful line, or is
Well,
it?
I'm not gonna go like scroll through it because I want people to
No.
read it, but I don't think that it's spoilers to talk about specific lines. In the thing, because I was going to say there's one line where she, you know, likened like her running away to the same kind of like theme of acting out as the Columbine kids. And like, I I very much disagree. I understand that there's a, like, it's a response. It's another type of response to that kind of oppression. I don't want to say oppression because I don't know that it was oppression, but I don't know what word fits. You know, but you know what I mean?
Casual neglect in
yeah.
a lot of ways.
But at, just the, like, at the same time,
disdain almost.
At the same time, running away is not the same because you're just trying to do the best you can for you. You're trying to save yourself. You're not trying to hurt other people and you know, visit onto them what you feel has been visited onto you. Like, those are two very different perspectives. They may be reacting to the same thing, but they're very different reactions.
Yeah. And people may not remember, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, because I'm not fact-checking this necessarily, but I don't remember hearing about any school shootings myself before Columbine.
No, I thought that was the first.
And, like, you know, people, the Gen Z and even Gen Alpha, once they start listening to podcasts, may not really feel like it matters that it was so, it was like that, because there's school shootings all the time now, it seems like, especially in America. But, like, it was so impactful at the time. Like, they wanted to take away video games, music, and D&D. Like, they wanted to just completely take all of the things that we used to escape what reality had turned into for us.
Right, and they were, like, they still do that. It's like we can't blame the things that are actually causing it. We have to blame something superfluous, like video games or a movie or musicians. Like, let's not think about the fact that maybe it has something to do with the wealth disparity or minimum wage hasn't gone up in, you know, so long, and we're trying to work at that. But, like, that had been a huge factor that was on the decline at the time. Or maybe it was because we don't have any mental health care issues, like, but we have a booming population and no way, like, no infrastructure. Like, there's so many different things. Real world things they knew were problematic. Oh, but no, it's the music.
Right. Well, I mean, there's been a whole fucking hunk of the country that has been looking for the perfect scapegoat the whole, like, the decades, if not centuries at this point, you know? And just being something to be angry about, that it seems like it's against what their culture wants. Like, that's been a thing the whole time.
Sturge's, like, out of context quotes are killing me a little bit right now.
But, like, you know, the whole culture war that's happening right now, that is just being framed as culture war, it's being talked about directly as a culture war that's happening in the world nowadays. That's just the word that we're using for something that's been going on for a very, very long time. People like easy answers and get really frustrated when you realize that it's actually a complicated situation, because everything is kind of a complicated situation.
Well, I think that that's laziness.
Well,
and
sure.
I get that that's a lot. It's a lot of work to put in, but aren't our children worth it? Why weren't we worth it? You know what I mean? Like, our entire generation was stuck in front of in front of computer screens, in front of TV screens, in front of radios. We weren't parented. We were contained.
Or entertained.
Well, I mean, that was part of the containment, but sometimes it was boring, you know, it wasn't really entertaining. So, like, and she brings up in the article, Nicole talks about the latchkey kids, and I never did latchkey, but the feeling, even if you weren't a part of latchkey, that it was still there. There was still the understanding that, like, after a certain age, you can fend for yourself, right? Just sit in front of the TV and shut up. You're fine.
Right. And that, I mean, I literally, Sturge was too, I was in latchkey. Like, they literally called it latchkey. That was a thing that I did after school. And, like, there was no entertainment at all. It was do homework, read a book, or, you know, hang out with the rowdy kids that were probably going to get in trouble. That was, like, the entirety of it for me. And I just read a lot of books. That was the whole thing I did.
Yeah, it was just a space for you to be contained within, because nobody wanted to deal with you.
Yeah.
And you got that kind of feeling, like, nobody wants to deal with me. I'm just here because nobody cares enough about me in this moment that has any availability to do anything.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like your parents don't care about you, but in those hours, you're kind of like, yeah, I don't have a family. I'm just here.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't different for me. It wasn't terribly different for me being at Latchkey and being at home. Like, genuinely, like, I don't have any memories from whoever supervised the Latchkey program in the years that I was in it at all, I assume, because they didn't really interact much. If you showed me a memory from my childhood as the Latchkey auditorium that I was in and no adult supervision, it would not surprise me in the slightest. And my parents just kind of let me do my own thing for the most part anyway also. So, like, that was, I don't think I ever really knew exactly how much that was part of the generation. I thought it might just be me, but I think that the only thing that was just me was that, like, not, maybe not even that, but, like, I did have a lot of privileges. Like, I had a lot of safety net to be able to catch me. Not if I, like, fell on my bike away from the house because no one knew where I was, but, you know, I don't know. Blah.
Such a personal story. Anyway, and yeah, Nicole goes into a lot of her personal stuff as well. Just, it's really good. I know it's 11-minute read, but it didn't feel like 11 minutes. I don't know that it actually took me 11 minutes to read, but even if it did, it didn't feel like it.
In reading it before the podcast, you know, I didn't really feel a huge crunch of time, but I did feel like, you know, maybe we don't want to keep the podcast waiting, so maybe I won't read the whole article. But then I just kept going.
Yeah.
Just kept going, because, like, I couldn't stop. I wanted to get to the end. So it's a very good article.
Yeah. Yeah, and vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
Which is why it's kind of the focal point of this episode, for at least the first little section, because it did feel like kind of examining the life of us as teens in the 90s, and just exposing that stuff that, like, nobody was looking at the time.
Right. Exactly. Someone that didn't have the experience might read it and doubt or question certain aspects. I didn't question a single word.
Right.
Every single word made sense to me.
Yep. Yeah. But,
yeah.
Okay. So,
God damn it, Sturge.
Sturge with your comments. Nobody was looking at stuff we were exposing. Tam, 2024. Goodness.
Okay.
What a way to come up for air.
Yeah, we need that. That's
we
what
do
Sturge
need
is
that.
Here for.
It's good. Thank you, Sturge, for the levity.
Might start calling you Coach.
Coach. Coach.
Of course,
Sturge.
You know, Sturge did say in chat up above there that we're probably all around the same age, so maybe I can't call Sturge Coach. Cause,
yeah,
you know,
I think we found out he's between you and me, and like, his birthday was,
oh,
like,
yeah,
late,
right.
82.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we're all millennials, basically
all
the same age at this point.
We're all millennials here. Well, not all of us, but yeah.
in the podcast currently, yes, we are.
Oh, yes, the three of us. Yep, that's very true.
Yep.
I'm 42 in less than a month.
Yep. Okay, so the next one was... yeah, it's the deeper, you know, more dark area of talking about abuse. And I want, before we go into the article, I want to preface this by saying I'm working on adding the submission guidelines to the Abuse Road publication. Excuse me. So that we can get people writing in the publication.
Right, I understand. Absolutely. But yeah, was it your second article on Abuse Road?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, this was your second article on Abuse Road, and on Abuse Road you were doing you're looking at Reddit posts and just writing about the abuse inherent within those Reddit posts. Is that about how you would describe what you were doing?
Yeah. And this is a member-only story, but I will come down to here for the original post.
Do you want me to read
Do you want to read it? It's pretty long.
it? I'm okay with reading it, but it's up to whether or not you're okay with taking the time for it.
That's fine.
Okay. Almost wish Serge was back already, but that's okay. All right, here we go. Hello, Reddit. I have just downloaded Reddit because my niece said I should post this story to the Am I the Asshole board. So here I am. I'm not very good with technology, so forgive me. I'll probably be messing this whole post up. Emojis, emojis, emojis. So basically, here's what happened. Me and my wife hired our babysitter who we've been going to for years. We have two sons and a daughter, and we've been hiring her since my oldest son was a baby, though it was mostly her mama looking after the baby while she was, quote unquote, helping. So we gave her a couple of dollars for that. Emojis again. She's now 16 and can look after the kids all on her own, and my oldest two love her. My youngest is only 7 months, so I'm not sure he really gets it yet. And more emojis. But he seems relatively happy when he's with her. That's a lot of emojis for someone that doesn't
You know, you
understand
don't
Reddit yet.
have to say the emojis. You can just read it. Like it's, we don't need the
Okay, sorry.
emojis.
This Friday, my kids' daycare had been closed for renovations, and Daisy, our babysitter, has kindly offered to take care of them after school, from 3:30 to 6 p.m. I get home from work at 6, and my wife gets home at 6:30. However, I got home early from work at 5:30. When I got home, I found my wife yelling at Daisy while Daisy was just sobbing and apologizing. I asked my wife what was going on. And all she did was start yelling that Daisy had cost us a bunch of money. My first thought was that she'd broken something, but my wife wasn't telling me what it was. She told Daisy she wouldn't be paying for her time and to get the fuck out of our house and never come back, or she'd call the police. Daisy then ran out crying, and I left my wife to calm down while I c comforted my kids. They were all crying in a different room while my wife yelled at Daisy. When everyone had calmed down, I got the full story from my wife. So here's what happened. My mother had been looking after the kids until 3:30 while we were at work. This was Daisy's first time looking after my youngest son, though we knew we could trust her with the babies since she looked after my daughter alone when she was a baby. Something important that you should know is that my youngest son has breath-holding episodes, which occur when he gets frustrated or is in pain, and he will just hold his breath. To stop them, you just have to blow on the baby, or they will just snap out of it on their own. They're completely normal and relatively safe in babies. However, the episodes can sometimes cause passing out and blueness, and it's normal, and he usually wakes up within a few seconds. To cut a long story short, my mom forgot to tell Daisy what to do if that happens, and when my son passed out, Daisy panicked and called 911, and then my wife, and then my wife. My wife is now angry that Daisy called 911 for quote unquote nothing, and has now wasted our money on an ambulance ride. Me and my wife are now arguing because I think Daisy did the right thing, but my wife doesn't. Yesterday, we got into a heated argument. We both said some hurtful stuff, and she's now staying with her mother for a few days while she, quote, thinks over my priorities in the relationship, quote. That's the whole story, right?
There's more,
That's good enough, though, I think.
but yeah, the more is really just like updates and stuff. So since I've written the thing, I already know where I stand on it. What do you think? Because I think this is your first time actually going over it, right?
This one?
Isn't
No,
it? Oh,
I've
have
read
you
this
read it?
article.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I commented too. But it's madness. It's madness to me because, like, I understand l l missing out on money that you didn't expect. It's a big hit, and for any family, especially an ambulance ride, could be a huge deal. I get that, but this is a teenager that you're yelling at for trying to save a child's life from their perspective. And I would support that impulse every single time. It showed that the babysitter was caring and willing to do what was necessary to try and keep the kids from getting hurt. And I'm flabbergasted that the ex response was so big that the wife thought that she needed to call the police if Daisy came back. That's
Do
madness
you
to me.
see the abuse in this?
Oh, right. Sorry.
No, I'm really happy for what you gave. I'm just very pointedly, I want to see what you like if you can identify the abuse in
Well,
here.
I assume abuse has specific kind of definitions and stuff like that, but
Right.
the screaming originally alone by itself is abuse. Like when you're
Right.
screaming at somebody, you're not letting them talk, you're not caring about their perspective. You don't see them as being equal to you. That's abusive to m from my perspective.
Right. And she was a 16-year-old kid, and having this full-grown adult woman yelling at her, that is definitely abusive. That is
Right.
one example of abusiveness. It is not the
And
only one.
the yelling itself is intended to make the babysitter feel bad. Like there was no other reason for those words but to try and punish the babysitter. That's it. There's no
Well,
other.
yeah, I mean, there's also the intent to control,
Right.
because she believed that calling 911 was not the right action, and so she's basically trying to change this 16-year-old and their understanding of when it is acceptable and necessary to call 911. And at its heart, abuse is always about control.
Right.
So that I think that is the biggest example of abuse in this. But there's one more. There's one more. I didn't think about it until I saw somebody in the comments and stuff.
Well, it's also gaslighting.
Okay.
My wife is now angry that Daisy called 911 for quote unquote nothing. So clearly in the yelling, the wife was yelling at Daisy for overreacting, for taking an action that was unjustified, for doing the wrong thing. Like, I don't know, like for nothing. It makes the babysitter feel like they're going crazy.
Yeah,
Like
and
their
also the
reality doesn't matter.
husband, also the husband. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's a fourth one, because she's thinking over his priorities in the relationship, which is basically a way of an abuser to say, "You're wrong, so wrong that I'm questioning how you prioritize even our family and relationship."
Right. I have a profound point to make in a moment. Well, it might not really be profound, but I think it is. But if you want to say something else first, you can.
Well, there was the other instance of abuse that I wanted to point out, because this
Right.
one was it was difficult for me to see, so I wanted to like make sure that I pointed it out here. When
Sure.
he's talking about how when he got home, she was yelling, his wife was yelling at Daisy, and the kids were in the other room crying. That's
Right.
called neglect. Because
Right.
they needed tending to what, regardless of what had happened, it had already happened. There was nothing that yelling was going to change. Those kids were just crying in a room by themselves, completely unattended, being neglected.
Right,
And that is another form of abuse.
and we don't even know if the kids were crying because like the ambulance got them to the point where they were upset, or if it was just the moms yelling.
It doesn't matter. The point is that they were
They were
emotionally distraught,
right.
and as a mother, that was her job to notice that and figure out what they needed, because that's the whole point of children crying, is to get the attention of their parents or other authorities that are in their, responsible for their care, to get their needs met. And they were crying and not being heard.
Right. I agree.
So
Right, if I
anyway,
say
yeah,
that.
go on with
Yeah.
your profound thing.
I don't know if it, who knows? I think it's pretty likely, not knowing this woman at all, that she doubled down. You know, she made a decision, and then in some way she felt like a fool for making that decision deep down, and then decided that the only way to protect herself was to double down and say that she was definitely in the right, which in this situation, I don't even know whether or not you really need to worry about right and wrong. Like, after you've yelled, you just need to take care of the damage you've caused, first and foremost. But, like, it's not about. I mean, I would bet that this woman still to this day is like, that babysitter wasted my money and I was right to cut off that relationship. She should never have been a part of it or whatever, you know? I would bet that that. Because when you get into a moment when you get emotional like that and then someone or something makes you feel like you're doing something wrong, a lot of people just immediately double down to protect
Yeah.
themselves
Yeah.
from their own mind.
The thing I wanna say about that though is that it's a normal thing for people to do and it's common. I'm not gonna say that there's a right or wrong about that doubling down, but in this particular case, it's pretty clear that what she was doing with whatever her beliefs were, whatever her decisions and opinions were, the way she went about it was abusive. I don't think that she is lost. Like, I think she can come back from it, but she'd have to understand that doubling down made it worse.
Yes.
And it's gonna take a lot of time and effort for her to accept that other people's viewpoints were just as valid as that doubled down perspective, and level the playing field a little bit to see that, oh, you know what? Even if I am in the right, maybe it's not a good idea to scream at a 16-year-old. Maybe it's not a good idea to do that while my kids need my attention. You know, maybe it's not a good idea to cause my husband to question whether or not he is, you know, being a good father and husband just because he didn't think that it was right for me to yell at a 16-year-old child. Like, those are thoughts that won't come into her head until she gets to a point where she can see that she can believe what she wants, but other people's beliefs are just as valid.
Exactly. And at the very least, people's actions are understandable. Like,
Right.
you can get it. So.
Right. I mean, because we've had, look, okay, do we want to get real here? Like, the whole transmission thing going on in our life, I could be really mad about certain things about that transmission, but it doesn't do us any good. We're here. It's happened. Whatever could have happened in the past didn't, you know? And there's a point at which, like, there's maybe inside this woman, there's this child self that has been struggling with financial difficulty for a long, long time and is triggered by any major cost that wasn't predicted.
Right.
But like, it's already happened, and dealing with those triggers and not ripping off the heads of everybody around you just because you're afraid, that's what it takes. Like, you know, it doesn't help anybody to scream at them because you're afraid.
Right. All you'll get is people leaving you alone.
Yep.
From my perspective.
I mean,
Not that there aren't people that are worth screaming at. Like,
I don't know that there are.
yeah, I don't really know that there are too, but it's just that, like, I've screamed before at people that I care about and that care about me and we know, and it's like okay at a certain point. It's been many, many years because you know I haven't done it to you. I'm more thinking about, like, oh, I was about to name them.
I don't know. I think maybe screaming, the only thing I can think of where screaming has a place is like when, like, there was an altercation like years ago up the street, and there was like two people fighting in the front yard, and like I screamed at them. That seems like an acceptable place to scream. I'm not getting in there to like physically break them up, but I want them to know that like they're not okay. Like, this is not okay.
Right. And I still don't even know if I can still support it because it's like that's basically saying like screaming to be able to be heard amongst screaming people. And it's like, yeah, I get that,
Well,
but it
sometimes it
also
can
adds to
jar
it.
people out of their fight because they thought that they were unseen, and then they hear
Right.
that there's other people that are watching. You know,
Yeah.
that's what I thought might happen.
Possibility.
It's not what
Possibility.
happened, but I thought it might, you know.
Yeah, understood. And you wrote a really good article about that and pointing out the abuse, and so people should check that out too.
Yeah, I'll have that in the comments as well. But yeah, I don't think this is a lost cause situation. I wanna like put that out there, 'cause sometimes I look at it and I'm like, there's no way this guy just they're usually a guy, but sometimes it's a woman. They just don't understand. They need professional help, and I'm not sure that that would get them there, but it would be the best bet that they have. this woman, I don't, like, she could probably use some therapy. Let's be honest. There's obviously trauma here. But even without it, I think that she could come back from this. She just needs to do a lot of inner work, you know?
Right. A little bit of self-reflection.
Yeah.
A dash of humbleness.
Yeah.
Also, thank you, Sturge, for saying that we're profound. That's so cute.
She could come back from this, Tam, on the Crazy Bitch 2024. Thank you so much, Sturge.
If you have any pics of Tam on the Crazy Bitch, let me know.
Okay, so for the video's sake, I gotta see what this old lady
is. Yeah, okay. It's cute.
Worth it. Whoa. Goodness. He just takes the opportunity. You're killing me. All right, so we have our last one with, not me. Not with crazy bitches.
No, we've done yet. Yeah.
Like, it's not the action that I have a problem with. It's the crazy bitch part. Like, that's the part. Anyway, so I like to wrap up the episode with something that's more positive, because that's what you good suggested, and I really liked the idea. So,
it's a delightful idea.
We found Binky Ink Writing's article from the end of February. I know it's a little bit ago. It's nearly a month ago, but I liked it so much that I presented it. And she is a doll. She is amazing. She usually writes fiction, but this was one of the few opportunities that she wrote nonfiction. And it's about, I'm not going to go through because it's a member-only story and I don't want to take away her views, but it's about another writing platform that was like Medium, but wasn't Medium and had a different pay structure. And it apparently fractured into, she said cyan and red. I'll just say blue and red. It fractured into two groups that then went on to like spout hate at each other. I don't know what the platform was. It's probably something that if you know about it, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know about it, you're just as clueless as I am. But at the end of the day, it was very much like, hey, Medium has problems, but it's still a wonderful place to be. Like, there's still so much joy in being able to talk to people, being able to connect with other writers, other readers, and just share your ideas and thoughts. And it is wonderful.
Absolutely. And the article like really went into how like when Binky, can I call her Binky? When Binky Ink started on that platform, you know, she found some good people and they were interested and people were writing stuff for fun and enjoying it. And then once the split happened, it, you know, it just like degraded and all the cool people ran away to get away from the hate. And it's like, it really, when I read this, it really like put into my mind, it's like, how do the people that want to spread hate and want to engage in hate not realize that their hate pushes everyone away? Like, where is that realization and why doesn't it come through? I don't get it.
Can
like,
I I'm answer so... that or is that a
let me just do my okay. personal thing that I was about to say, but like, I'm so like aware of all of the people around me and how they feel about stuff. It just is baffling to me that you couldn't realize that like, because you want to fight, everyone wants to get away from you.
So I think, and I could be wrong, but I think the reason why they don't tend to see that is because they are afraid of anybody that's different and want to cull out anybody that isn't in their, like, the in group that they want to be around. So it's almost like they are pushing other people away by design. They don't realize the people that they're pushing away are sometimes better than the people that they're not pushing away because they're busy pushing them away and they don't get to know those people. They don't understand what it's like to not be on a side of hatred, to know that that's actually objectively a better feeling than being on the side of hatred. So yeah, I think it perpetuates itself because they're doing exactly what they want to be doing. They don't realize that what they're doing is actually harmful to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're putting themselves into an echo chamber. There's a lot of people out there that are like, want to be part of an exclusive club, you know, or an exclusive group of people to feel like they're cool, right? Or some people, because they want to feel like they're cooler than others specifically. And it's like, if you're framing it around hate and fighting, then you're pushing yourself into an echo chamber where you never get out of it. You don't change. You don't evolve.
And Sturge is right. It's all about them having a sense of belonging. And they only feel like they belong in these very specific, highly specific groups of people. That if it's white on black, for instance, like it's a white person, then, and they're around a black person, they don't feel like they belong because they have this idea that the color of their skin separates them. They can't celebrate the differences. Those differences are points of aggravation and fear. They don't want to get to know what the difference in culture is because it's not what they want to experience. And so it's not something that they can enjoy. So they don't feel like they belong with them. It's really weird.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of community. Not the show, the idea.
But you should be a big fan of the show too.
Maybe the show someday. but the idea of it, I totally get wanting to find community, wanting to find people whose presence makes your heart sing. Like, that's delightful and I love it. But I also worry about it because, like, Andrew fucking Tate started building a community. And that community, I worry about all the people that choose to exclusively get in there. Do they find belonging and camaraderie in that community? Probably. They probably do. And do I want to take that feeling from them? No, I don't really want to take that kind of feeling away from them. But it's just, when it's centered around hate, I struggle real hard to figure out what the right answer is, because like it's just going to go poorly. It's going to lead to something terrible.
It's really just people taking advantage of people who are vulnerable, and they don't realize it, but hatred makes people vulnerable. If you have hatred in your heart, you are vulnerable. That is just a fact. You are then vulnerable because as soon as the anger gets turned on, as soon as that hatred flips that switch, your executive functions of your brain just go offline. And you don't have logic anymore. You're not thinking with your full brain anymore. And that's a part of the process. People that know that is how it works take advantage of that flipped switch. They take advantage of whatever your hatred is. They know it comes from a fear. They know that they can use that fear to get something that they want out of it. And so they deepen it to make that happen.
Right, right.
And to bring it back to the article, that's kind of why I keep coming back to Medium. They don't put up with that shit. You can't spout hatred and use that vulnerability against people.
Right. Yeah, I totally get it.
They will boot you. And then, you know, you could, in theory, create a new account, but they'll boot that one too. It's just, they're really good at being in the habit of weeding out hate groups.
Yeah.
Although I do think that you could probably make a coleslaw hating group and it would probably be fine.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure that the alien infestation is strong enough that I would find resistance. Pretty sure. Like, there's a whole...
I don't think anybody would take it seriously enough for it to be considered a hate thing.
There's definitely a Bob Evans cabal that is going to, you know, underneath the scenes try and erase my existence from the world. And I'm not sure if I want to go that route yet.
I'm just saying, like, your hate group of I hate coleslaw isn't going to try to take away people's rights. It's not going to dehumanize people. It's, I mean, except for the fact that you believe that people that have eaten coleslaw are now under the influence of the almighty coleslaw overlord. But yeah, I don't think that it breaks any laws. I don't think it actually spreads any hatred. It's not going to make people start attacking people that like coleslaw.
Well, if I were to try and like launch a movement about it now, it certainly would be a lot different than it was, because once upon a time, I definitely did want the story of it to be that the people that were into coleslaw had been taken over by the alien hive mind, which does dehumanize them to a certain extent. And so, like, you know, that's not a direction I would like to go anymore, because there's
The
a bunch
world
of people
changed.
out there that are delightful and wonderful people that love deeply and fully, that also like coleslaw. And so I can't hate them for liking coleslaw. They're just wrong about coleslaw, and that's fine. There's
They
nothing
could
wrong
be
with that at all.
misguided.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just wrong.
Actually, okay, just to be real for a minute, like I have I don't know if I'm like mentally picky, or like if it's actually like that I just taste things slightly different, but like there's a lot of things that people like that I really will not put in my mouth. Like, to watch me if you, Sturge, you lovingly made me the best coleslaw that had ever been made, you watching me try and eat it would be the funniest
Oh my
and
God, it would
most
be
insulting
hilarious.
thing you could imagine, because I would struggle to even put it in my mouth
You
at
would
all.
come at it like you were trying to figure out how to get a tarantula on your hand.
Right, exactly. And then when I did put it in my mouth, there's very specific elements of coleslaw that I do not like. Ketchup is also another thing that I hate, and like vinegar is something that I just do not, just does not agree with me. As soon as I get anything that has a hint of vinegar on it into my mouth, I immediately feel like I want to throw up. Like, it's just an immediate reaction. I don't think I was traumatized by vinegar growing up, but who knows?
Maybe somebody waterboarded you with vinegar.
Oh, God. I can't even. God. We're updating my personal hell. We're updating it.
It's no
How
longer
dare you?
cheese sauce.
How dare you? Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
This was a beautiful article by Binky Ink. You know. Is that what we're still talking about the Binky
Yeah, we're
card
still
over
talking
there?
about Binkies. The split this that dis, the split that destroyed a community.
Right, and I support finding community out there. It can be very difficult sometimes. Sometimes it can happen upon you without you paying attention. I would personally recommend to everyone to try and make sure your community group, it isn't about hating somebody else or some other culture or whatever. That's just my opinion. I think that wraps up the Binky Ink. Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Let's
Thanks,
see
Binky Ink, for your
what these
submission.
Gifts are all about.
Wait, I like Binky Ink submitted it to us. Thanks, Binky Ink, for writing that article. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, nothing's been submitted. I haven't done the guidelines for Hidden Egg either. So when I do, it will go up. If anybody wants to be a writer for the Hidden Egg podcast publication, we are accepting, like, articles of vulnerability that we can talk about on the podcast. Just being vulnerable in general. Those are good moments, bad moments, preferably good moments, but you know, vulnerability goes all the ways. So people can just ask about it until I get the guidelines article up, and also the Abuse Road article as well.
Abuse Road pub.
Yeah, I sat down to write them both yesterday, and then I got really into the graphics of Abuse Road, and 5 hours later I was like, I need to just stop because all the colors are bleeding together and everything looks terrible.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no rush.
Yeah, and a little bit of it was Sturge's fault because he looked at it and he was like, I don't know, man, this doesn't look right. And I was like, God damn it, I got to do it all over again.
Good job, Sturge.
It's all right. It's not your fault. It's not your fault I have a little bit of OCD. It's fine.
Well, I think we probably did an episode, eh?
Yeah, this was an episode.
Well, I want to thank everybody that came along with the podcast and listened to us or watched the video on Substack, right? Is where the video is at, Substack?
Yeah, Substack is where the video goes.
Yeah, so thanks for coming along. We really appreciate your time here. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles. I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the accidental monster. You can find us both on medium.com and follow yourself always.